I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 427. Konami will find out that breaking up is hard to do.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey ho.
Who are you calling a ho?
Hey, just hey. Hey girl. Hey.
Okay? You can't just open up and be like, hey ho, and not expect me to be like, what?
Hey over there, sister.
There you go. Hey, how you doing? See, that's you could do that. That would be acceptable. I'd worry about you a little bit, but that would be acceptable. No, I'm glad to be back talking about games and anime and fun stuff for yet another week. I'm finally getting over the creepy crud. Because it's been horrible this week.
I was dealing with the remnants of Pax Pox and just bad weather making me more icky. And now it was your turn.
Yeah, and it's just
like I gave you the sickness without you even being near me.
No,
it's infectious.
You're not that infectious. I hate to burst your bubble. It's basically because of weather this week in Massachusetts can't decide what it wants to be. It's like, I'm spring. No, I'm winter. I'm spring. No, I'm winter.
Actually, technically, by the time this podcast goes out, we will be several days into spring, and we've probably already had 2 inches of snow.
Yeah, pretty much at this point. Then. I mean, as we are recording this right now, it is snowing in Massachusetts.
Yep.
Okay, and that's ridiculous because it's in March, but whatever, you know, it's how we do. You want a spring? I'll put a little powder on it. Fresh.
I'm in love with the cocoa.
I'm in love with adobo. Anyway, so because the weather keeps changing dramatically, one day it's like, I'm 50. Actually, no, I'm 20. My body's like, I can't take it, and that's why I got sick. But it's okay, because I'm feeling better-ish now. Good. And so that allowed me to get back into gaming news and playing games and stuff.
I know, just do your guardians miss you?
My guardians are so upset with me right now. Like, Xur is like, bitch, where you been? Like, it's been
all the awesome stuff that I've been selling when you've been away.
I've been selling stuff every week.
Everybody icebreakers for free.
Yeah, no, I would be mad pissed. Because I haven't been in Destiny now for almost a month.
Wow,
like,
dude.
I know.
I've only been away from it for 2 weeks.
Dude, it's been like almost a month. It's 3 weeks. Okay, but I'm fixing it. I'm fixing it next week because I'll be caught up on like all my current stuff. I'll have the last of my PAX pieces out. And so I could go back to playing Destiny, because I won't have things that I need to play for review purposes. So see, I put you guys before my own wants and needs.
Okay.
A little bit. But I'm going back to Destiny. Like, I hit my clan up today. I was like, guys, the hiatus is almost over. I'm coming back next week with a vengeance. And so I need...
If you're done with the Order 886, can I borrow such a...
You can borrow it. I didn't finish it. I feel really bad. I got stuck on a mission. It sucks.
That seems to be the story of your life.
No, seriously, it sucks because I really wanted to finish the game, and I've tried it like 16 different ways to try and finish this mission. Basically, I'm pinned. It's really a fucked up section of the mission, but I'm pinned in this room, in this hallway that leads to this room, and a bunch of enemies spawn, and I have several weapons that I can run back and pick up when the weapons I have run out of ammo. But there are also shotgun specialists, and there's like an electrode specialist who can basically shoot Tesla's lightning bolt gun at me, and I can't get my aim and timing right for getting back and switching weapons, running down the hallway without getting killed to take these guys out. And I've tried 16 different combinations, no lie, of what weapons I start with, what sides I hop to, things I try to hop behind. There's a grenade specialist that comes out at one point. Like, there was this one time I thought I had it, and a grenade guy came out and started lobbing grenades. So I'm not saying that I threw my controller, because I didn't throw it, but I did.
Did it fall from your hands in a forward motion as if pushed through force?
No, I didn't fumble it, but I did put it down very quickly and very forcefully.
It's not the controller's fault. Don't take your aggression out on your controller.
No, it actually might be my controller.
By the way, since we're talking about controllers, here comes an angry tangent for 2.5 seconds. All but one of my PS4 controllers can no longer be charged. They're dead.
They're dead to you, Ben.
They're physically dead. Like, they just won't hold a charge anymore. Because I believe the Biffle might have did something to his charger out in the living room. And then tried to, swap one of my controllers for his.
Uh-huh.
Thinking I wouldn't notice that my controllers were not in the office.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to go use one of my controllers, and it's not working.
Oh.
And I said, what happened? And he said, it's broken. What happened? He said, it's broken. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with mine, so I thought maybe I'd try yours. I'm like, so you broke one of mine. You know, I don't make the money you make. I can't just go out and buy new controllers. Not that he had to buy his controllers, because stuff just falls off trucks sometimes for him.
I mean, you know, stuff be falling off of trucks, though. And those are good days.
Yeah,
those are good days when those things fall off of trucks.
Falls off for him, not so much for me. So now I'm back to having one controller after I've had two for so long. And one of them was a gift from you. Don't you remember when you first got your PS4, you got an extra controller?
Yep.
And you were like, here, for the console that will come. And then it did come.
Yep.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Dead.
Your gift to me is dead.
But that's my tangent.
So I really want to finish The Order. I really want to finish it.
The Order?
Look, I'm still got with some congestion, so don't give me no shit. I really want to finish The Order.
Okay.
I really do.
All right.
But I don't think I'm going to be able to finish it before I actually just go back to Destiny. Okay. So, yes, you can borrow it.
Yay!
It is a great game. I will say this. I do want to finish it at some point, but I really want you to play it a little bit more right now. So, yes, you can borrow it.
Yay!
But it's... everybody who was shitting on this game when it came out, I'm sorry. The game is really good. And I'll tell you right now, and it's not for lack of trying, but it's definitely not a 5-hour game if you're just a casual gamer.
Okay.
Just throwing that up
so
right now.
If you're
now.
Like a hardcore gamer, then
if you're a hardcore gamer, you can blow right through it.
Okay.
You know, and if you are excellent at first-person shooters, the third-person aspect of this is very easy to pick up. You'll blow through it, for sure, if that's your niche. And you don't care about any of the collectibles and, like, inspecting elements. But for anybody who actually really wants to try to appreciate the story that's there, it's more than a 5-hour game, and it's really good. So I'm stoked about it, and I can't actually wait for you to play it to see what you think about it. So... But while we're talking about controllers, I got to play with one. I don't know if you've had a chance yet to play with the controller that we got at the Harmonix party at PAX East. I actually, Mad Cats as a swag at the PAX East party for Harmonix, gave away a Mad Cats CTRL controller. And it's basically... A mini...
Isn't that just Control?
Yeah, it's Control. It's the Mad Cats
Control. So the Control controller.
Yeah, but it's acronymed out, so it's got periods in between it, the CTRL.
Oh,
but it's the Mad Cats Control. Yeah, and I can't remember what the fuck it's actually supposed to stand for right now.
Can't really test live control.
Can't test real live? No.
Can't test real life trailer.
Yeah, something like that. But it basically is like a miniature Xbox controller.
Okay.
For the form factor. So it has full 2 analog sticks, a D-pad, 4 buttons, and it has both shoulder buttons and triggers.
Ooh, okay. Okay. And is it comparably the exact same size, or is it a little
smaller? No, it's small. It's a mini one. So it looks like it's an Xbox controller for your 3-year-old.
Oh, all right.
So it's tiny.
So it's perfect for your hands.
Yes, it is. And it's designed for you to use with your mobile device, your iOS or Android device, for those games that have and use the on-screen analog and button.
Now, that makes me wonder, actually, because looking at the hookup, that like where you hook it up to use, like, does it sit in your power input? Is that how it sits?
No, you sit your phone landscape.
Okay.
So the way that it works is it has a attachment that basically is spring loaded. So you stretch it out to fit your your iOS or smartphone sideways landscape, and it springs back on it. So it grips it nice and tight and holds it tight onto the controller. And it's got a hard hinge. It's a plastic hinge, but it's a hard lock, so your phone is not going anywhere while it's in this grip.
So unless you get, like, ambushed by, like, some linebackers, and you go head first into the ground and smash it into the ground, you're probably not looking at losing your phone,
nope.
Your mobile device.
You're not losing your mobile device at all.
Okay, good.
At all. So it's very secure when it's in that grip. And it works via Bluetooth and uses 2 AAA batteries. So there's no wire connecting anywhere between your iOS device and this controller. And so to test it, there is an app that you have to download on your device so that it can correctly talk to the apps that you're running that can use the buttons and understand it. You can even go through and map some of the buttons in some of the games that you get. Just depends on the Mad Catz app being able to talk to the game that you're playing. To test it, I downloaded the Double Dragon game. Because it's arcade games, mostly, that I really, really miss having tangible buttons. Even in analog form to play on an iOS device, there's just the touch capacity just doesn't work to play those types of games. So, I grabbed Double Dragon. Popped my phone into the device, put a couple batteries in, and started it up. And I gotta tell you, it works really well. I was kind of surprised.
I mean, we've had some hits and some misses with Mad Catz, too. So,
right.
We've had a nice bumpy road of life experiences with
Mad Catz has really, like, gotten better in the last couple of years with their quality. It's kind of Nyko that I've really been disappointed with.
They've kind of gone downhill a little bit.
Yeah, and Mad Catz has really kind of stepped it up. But what I was mostly concerned with wasn't necessarily like how well it was going to hold my device or not, but my main concern was actually, since it worked via Bluetooth, if there was going to be too much of a delay between when the controller registered that I hit a button and the game registering that I would be penalized. You know, because when you're playing a game like Double Dragon or something that it's really about getting the timing right when you're fighting a character that's coming at you, you don't want to be like, I hit the button. Oh, wait, now I throw the punch. Like, that will really sour and fuck your Christmas. And that didn't happen. There was, like, barely even a noticeable delay. Although you can go into the Mad Catz app and tweak that if you need to. So if you notice that the delay is too much or too high, you can actually go into the Mad Catz app on your device and change it to make it quicker or make it faster. So you can tweak it between your games. So for me, I thought, wow, like, as I travel more, like, this would be a great way for me to play a bunch of arcade games. Like, you know, stuff like Final Fury. You've got all the stuff that's in the Namco arcade. So you could theoretically play Galaga actually very nicely with this controller. And it's light enough and small enough that it would be really, really easy to travel with. So the device is really fucking cool. So if you travel a lot and you do play arcade style games, you know, things that really require a stick and you don't want to get one of those fling things to put onto your device, this is a really, really good alternative. I have to say, very, very surprised, very happy with it. So that's my first piece. What do you have for the people, Panda?
Well, since you brought up something a little bit more lighthearted, let me bring it to a deep place.
Oh no. But I have deep sadness too.
Okay, well let me talk about something spooky.
Aww.
And so I have played some games lately. Not as many as I'd like because I did get caught up in some other things, but
life, you know, it happens.
Yes. But we know that I'm a fan of the games of spooky and scary. And half the time I don't finish them because I become exceptionally frightened. I start imagining things and then I have to go to my happy room with pillows and watch My Little Pony until I feel like myself.
My Little Pony does make everything better. I just want to say.
It certainly does. Like, you have friendship you night is magic. Terrors and pissing yourself at night? Watch My Little Pony for 6 hours. You're good.
Yep.
You'll be good.
Yep.
Anyway. So I've been venturing into PC games lately, which is kind of funny to hear because I live a Mac life. But I live in a house that has both Microsoft, you know, PC-related things and Mac stuff in it. And I've been playing some PC games because as much as I love my Mac, and I do, Macs are limited towards the amount of PC games that are playable on its system. And the boyfriend was nice enough to let me download some games, and this was one of them. And it's called Hector. It came out of Team Rubicon Cone, I think. And it's a very small dev house. Only 5 dudes are in it.
Right.
And so you know how, you know, PT was scary as fuck?
Yeah.
Like, really scary. Like,
yeah.
The minute you walked into that hallway, you knew shit was going down, even though all the lights were on, and you like, were kind of
safe. The minute I saw it, I was like, not touching it.
Like, yep. Yeah. Well, Hector kind of gives you that vibe from the jump. You are first person, so you can't see who you are. All you can see is your hand, and you have this gold watch on, and you have this lighter. And you appear to be in an underground bunker.
Okay.
Sort of. And your primary objective is to get the fuck out. Like, time to leave. Bye, Felicia.
Bye.
Bye. And as you're walking, you start realizing that the world is shifting around you. So, like, you're walking towards a door. The door all of a sudden starts to do, like, the Dalé dripping clock wobbly. Like, you're, like, drugged.
Okay.
And as you're wandering through some of these rooms, you find these notes. And at first, like, none of these notes make sense because they're all written on different paper and they're all different lengths. And eventually start realizing that they're not all the same note, which means they're not written by the same person. But you find out that, yeah, you're underground. You're in a military black site that they've completely shut off from the world because shit went down at this base. Like, psychological treatments went down in this base.
Okay.
Drugs got pumped into people underground at this base.
At this base.
That kind of made some of the other test subjects lose their shit. And or, oh, I don't know, no longer be human.
Yeah. This is where I tap out.
Yeah. So here's the deal. So eventually you get one note that's like, oh, man, I finally experienced my first trip without this drug. And there are these pills that you will find, and I'm using air quotes, because I've probably played at most, if I look at my play time, probably only 25 minutes of this game.
Uh-huh.
But you're supposed to be scavenging to find these pills, because the longer it takes you to ingest this medicine, that's when the world starts to shift on you and you start tripping balls, essentially, because your body is dependent on this benzo. That's the medication.
Uh-huh.
And so the longer you don't have it, the more creepy things become. Like, you start hearing disembodied voices. Eventually something does begin to stalk you, and sometimes it's really something stalking you, and sometimes it's just the effects of the lack of the drug in you. You don't get weapons right away. For the longest time, all you have is a lighter. So the light that you get in certain areas that are very dark is very minimal. By the time I finished the 25 minutes I played it, I finally got a flashlight, which was nice. It was totally nice. Still have no weapon. Have no idea why I'm here. What the fuck is that?
Again.
And I know, and it's branching on that whole, once again, just like kind of Outlasted And, you know, it's more escapist horror than survival because, yes, you're surviving, but in old-fashioned survival horror, you obviously have – they give you a means to fight back, and in this case, you don't. There's no – as far as I know now, I have not been given anything that allows me to fight these demons that are here. And at the same time, I don't know if all of them are real yet because I did watch a playthrough after I watched my 25 minutes, and there was one guy who got mauled by something, clearly didn't see what it was, but it put him back in a different location, and he was not tripping, because at the point that he got taken over, he hadn't taken any benzo, and, like, he couldn't see anything in front of him. All he could do was hear these sounds, and it was just, like, a shit show. So what makes this game kind of stand out to me in a way that, you know, like the way PT does and the way that Outlast does and the way that, you know, what's another one that I've played that I really liked that was scary? Yeah,
PT. Evil Within?
Yes. Granted, I didn't even finish Evil Within, and they released their first DLC, but I won't talk about that right now because, like I said, I didn't finish the first game. But
Pam has actually already been all over that.
Good for him. Good for him. I can't stealth to save my life, so I'm so glad that...
If
it came to a point that I had to stealth my way through a place without getting my head blown off, wouldn't happen. I would just stand up like, take my head, please. Not happening. But anyway, the thing that really sets Hector apart from any other traditional survival slash escapist horror game that I have ever played or deigned to play is that you can't stay in one place too long because the atmosphere, the setting, your landscape is randomly generated. So you can't path where you're going.
So it's a persistent world.
So it constantly, and it's forever changing. So you might go down this hallway and take a left and end up in the exact same hallway you were just in, go all the way down and go to take that left and then there's no left as a right. Or you go backwards and you're in a totally different area because you're tripping balls this whole time. Like, you are clearly not in your right mind. Clearly some serious shit went down. Someone at one point, there's a flash, somebody, like, lobotomizes you and takes out something in your brain.
Not cool.
Like,
not cool.
Stuff is going down. Like, no one's talking about this out loud. Like, this is, like, blacked out with black marker. Like, Area 51 shit.
This is redacted.
Exactly. And I mean, and it's terrifying. And, it, you know, sometimes it doesn't take a lot to invoke that type of atmosphere into a game. I mean, literally, for all we know, this person is in a room. And this stuff isn't really happening to him.
They could just be having a really bad acid trip.
Right. Or... this could just be a nightmare. Now, granted, like I said, I haven't played the full game, so I don't know what the twist really is. But I like that they're playing with the idea that the map is not linear. There is no set map. And the save points are automatic because clearly I don't think they could creatively find a way to find a saving mechanism if the world is constantly shifting around you. You can't go back to the same save point because it's clearly not going to be there when you get back.
Right.
If you get back.
I'm not playing this game.
But I just love...
But I don't have a PC anyway, so...
Right. But I can't imagine that we won't see Hector on other platforms. I just know right now it's available on PC and you can get it on Steam. So if you're looking for something that will challenge you, not only in the sense of PT... putting stuff there and then not putting stuff there, but literally just having things constantly change around you with no hint, no audio cue, nothing. Like, literally, you are just wandering around and your mind is your worst enemy when you play Hector. If you could stay calm and collected and understand that that's what the game is trying to make you feel, then you'll be able to conquer the game. But so far, it doesn't seem like a lot of people have been able to do that thing. It's a lot harder than it sounds. I mean, like I said, I only played 25 minutes, and I was, as soon as I saw my first glimpse of the possible monster, because like I said, I don't know if any of these monsters that are pursuing me are real.
Right.
I was like, nope. Because, I mean, they're not high res. Like, I mean, they're not like Lisa from PT. Like, you don't see all that texture. Like, it's always far enough away until eventually I'm going to assume one of them does become real enough that it can harm you in a way. But, I mean, like I said, I don't know that for sure yet. But, oh, my God, is it amazing. And I got my spook on. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it sounds like you enjoyed that spook. I didn't enjoy anything that you just said. Everything that you just said.
I had all my lights on. Like, I was not playing this with any hint of darkness in the house, although I feel bad because the light bill is going to definitely show that I had lights on. I had not only my comfortable throw of sleep, but I also had my green shawl of protection. And I also had my DS on so I could hear cheerful music.
Set yourself up for success.
Like, I was in the best nurturing environment that I could be for scaring my balls off. Which I then, in fact, did scare them off. Because
you're a girl and you have no balls.
I don't have balls. But if you want any more information, like I said, the release date was on the 13th. So it was, like, last week. Actually, 2 weeks from when this podcast will go out. It is available on Steam. In some places, you can actually get it, download it for free. You don't necessarily have to pay it. But, you know, the company, if you want to endorse what they're doing, they clearly have a problem taking your money.
I always feel like when things are on Steam, you should get them for Steam. And if they're ever part of, like, a Humble Bundle, pay what you want, do that. But, like, people work a lot on games to put them out there. So when you have the opportunity to pay even just a little couple bucks or whatever to pay for a game, you should do that.
So.
Well, I have something related actually to PT and that feel and that kind of stuff, which isn't spooky as much as it is
sad. I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. Segue. So there are rumors going all around the gaming industry right now, and it's going to be really hard for anybody who's not a gamer to have at least seen something about this at this point, but I gotta talk about it because it's on my brain. So the rumors are floating around that Kojima and Kojima Productions are parting ways with Konami.
What?
Yeah, and so...
Wait, what's gonna happen to Silent Hill?
Wait, see, that's why I said segue. It's kind of related. Hold on, let me finish. So,
Mommy and Daddy can't break up now. First, I cannot have two Christmases.
First, what sparked the rumors were that a bunch of marketing materials for the Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, and Metal Gear Solid The Legacy Collection were recently updated. You know, the first sets of promotional materials that went out very blatantly displayed the Kojima Productions game, you know, the logo with the fox, as well as blatantly on top of the Phantom Pain, a Hideo Kojima game on them. And then a new set was released on the 13th that all of those elements were removed. One piece was actually done completely new with no mention of Kojima Productions on it at all. As a matter of fact, the Kojima Productions office was renamed to Konami Digital USA.
You're making me sad.
It gets worse. So, start sparking rumors that there's all kinds of things that were not going well at Konami. They announced earlier that they were doing a restructuring.
You know, that means downsizing.
Okay, wait, it gets even better. The Kojima Production Live Twitter handle put out a message that for Metal Gear Solid fans, they should now start following Konami Digital _EN for all news, because they were shutting down that account. The Kojima Productions website now redirects to a Konami website. So basically, they're pulling all references to Hideo Kojima and Kojima Productions from all of their stuff. Now, this made me think, you know, remember, I think it was last E3, or it might have been a little bit before last E3, where Kojima did an interview and said that, you know, this Metal Gear game was going to be the last Metal Gear game, Phantom Pain. Everyone's like, no, you can't do that. Konami will talk you into more stuff. You can't end with, you know, Phantom Pain, blah, blah, blah. We love you, Kojima, whatever. And I think that, like, everybody in the industry thought, oh, no, you mean, like, the last Metal Gear game for this platform or that... You
or
know, right
it's
now,
like the last Metal Gear that has Solid Snake. Maybe we're gonna get like
right, like at least that's how I felt. Like this is probably gonna be the last Metal Gear Solid game because Solid Snake is not gonna be part of it. And we're gonna have a new Metal Gear game, and it'll have completely different things in it, right? Like this is what my brain thought, but now to hear and Konami put out a really weak press release saying, oh, no, Kojima and team are going to be very, very involved with Metal Gear Solid 5 through its production. And then everyone went, yeah, and then after? Nothing. Crickets. And they released an updated statement, and they were like, no, they're going to be on board for, you know, the Metal Gear and all that kind of stuff. But, no, like, what this reminds me of is, like, when you're getting a divorce, and as the woman... Like when everything is all settled, you go back and you change your name back to your maiden name or just something that isn't his name anymore. So, like, you don't have to have the daily reminder of all that bad stuff and how the relationship ended. And that's basically what they're doing. The website redirects now back to Konami. They've pulled his name and his production company's name off the building, off the materials. They pulled them off the Twitter. Like... They're erasing Kojima from these projects, even though they're still working on them. And so I think that what this means is what Kojima said is true, is that this is the last Metal Gear game. The last one that's going to be good. The last one that his team is working on. And the last one that really a lot of people are probably going to be interested in. Because let's face it, Konami outside of Metal Gear really hasn't put out anything amazing in recent years. We were just talking about this during our roundtable about how quiet Konami has been, and it's because we all assumed that they were like working on something big. And instead,
well, apparently, it was getting the fuck out.
It was big, but not in a positive way. Like
all his stuff was in a box to the left.
Well, and what's really weird is, like, right before all this happened, Kojima sent out a tweet, and it was a picture of Solid Snake heading towards an aircraft carrier, and the message just said, heading out, and everyone just assumed that he was showing off more art for the game, but now, because of all the rumors...
Now it's like a mic drop.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like a bow out, a curtain call, Oh, man.
You know, so I think, and there are rumors, and again, I don't like to play in the rumor mill, but with all these things that have happened with the transitioning of taking pieces off marketing materials when you haven't actually started shipping a game yet to make you money, to spend money, to redo all the marketing materials... to redo websites, and to just hole up and start a whole new Twitter account and hope people come over. Like, that tells me that there's some truth behind the rumors in that, you know, there's been a lot of friction between Kojima's team and Konami out of what they want and what he wants to produce. No word yet on how this affects Silent Hills, though. And, like, when you start thinking about all the stuff that Kojima's worked on for Konami, like, this is a big deal.
It's kind of... I have a hard time associating Konami without thinking Metal Gear Solid and Kojima.
Yeah, you
like,
don't...
Like, it's kind of a
don't.
Hard... It's a hard pill to swallow.
Outside
I don't
of,
like
the
and
DDRs...
I don't want to take that medicine.
Outside of, like, the DDRs and stuff, when I think of Konami, I think DDR, and I think
Fuck
Metal
that
Gear.
Game.
But that's what I think of when I think of... Konami, I think Metal Gear, and I think DDR. And you can't think Metal Gear without thinking Hideo Kojima. You know, because, like, whether you like Metal Gear or not, one thing that you cannot deny is that Kojima's team puts together a phenomenal story, and their games take you through really great gameplay. His name has become synonymous with quality storytelling and gameplay in the industry. Like, when people say Kojima, it is revered. for quality.
Clearly, duh.
You know? And you're walking away from that as Konami for some reason. So there's got to be bad blood. Like, that's the only thing I can think of. That's the only reason why you take his name off shit.
There's only one reason you don't take Kojima to prom. And that's if you're done. Because even if I were, like, if I was in a relationship with Kojima back in my high school anime days, let's, you know, think back in my mind in a flashback. If we were fighting, I would still, even though we were having differences, I would still go to prom with Kojima because he's the most popular boy at school.
They're not going to prom.
No. Okay?
They're not going to prom.
No.
They're not going to spring break together.
No.
They've released a bunch of things. I think they're now up to like their second or third press release. We're like, no. The team is still involved very heavily with the game, and this is just part of our restructuring, like we talked about. And I'm just like, no.
If I see a picture of like Konami's head dude like having freaking sushi with Kojima like on their private Konami yacht, then I ain't buying it.
No, it's like when power couples still go to like award shows even though they've been broken up, but they haven't officially announced that they've broken up yet, so they show up and they have like those really hard
Underwood from House of Cards.
That's what's going on exactly with Kojima and Konami. So I think what will happen is we'll get through E3 and then officially stuff will come down and they will be done.
Well, I mean, do we think that Kojima has a big enough team that they could really kind of branch out? And because, I mean, you know, Silent Hill.
I absolutely think that Kojima could do a team because like Kojima's team is not staying. Like, they're not staying.
They're going with him.
You know, so I think, you know, Kojima Productions absolutely probably under a different name because I have a feeling that they may not be able to take the name with them because the logo that they use for it is from graphics from the Metal Gear game. And since they're leaving Konami, I'm going to go with they're not going to be able to take it with them. So they may not be Kojima Productions. But I think that they absolutely could survive and work on the same level as, a Platinum Games.
The rights to Silent Hills, though, because then that property would not be able to go with him.
All this stuff is Konami's IP. You gotta remember that Kojima's team just
we're not
you're gonna get Silent Hills. Okay.
It will probably be that PT because PT wasn't like pacing was
Panda.
Amazing.
Panda.
No.
Hold your panties. Because like I said, there's no talk about what's going on with Silent Hills, but Del Toro is not out.
I know.
Okay? And Konami does have some very good engineers and designers in-house. But there's no word yet on whether or not they're going to finish it or not. I think, like, personally, just from the track record, that I think that Kojima and team will finish out Silent Hills. I do. I think they're going to tap out of Phantom Pain at this point, and they're going to finish Hills and be done with it. Or, frankly, Hills could have been the thing that broke it, because Kojima and Del Toro really wanted it to be this one thing, and maybe Konami wasn't ready for that jelly, because, you know, Del Toro brings the weird.
Oh, Del Toro brings fear to a place that is completely weird. Like, you can't tell if you're more weirded out or terrified, and by the time you figure it out, you're fucked.
Yeah. You know, so they may have been bringing something really weird, and Kojima may have been, like, all for it, and Konami would have been, maybe, was like, no, we're not having any of it. And that could have been the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, because Konami has definitely wanted to do some things, and we've had these rumbles before in the industry about Kojima's team wanting to do stuff and Konami wanting to go in a little bit different direction that's delayed Metal Gear games coming out. So, you know, who knows? But, I mean, ultimately, there always does come a point when you've had enough. And I'm sorry, when you start taking people's names off of things, I don't care what press release you put out, that tells me that you guys have broken up.
It's so sad.
You know, so I'm bummed about that because Kojima makes great games, and I hope that this isn't the end.
I feel like Kojima has always been kind of a beacon to look to when you're doing or you're planning to try to do something innovative in your game. Because, I mean, he's kind of stood out with doing that in his Metal Gear Solid games, like having a villain be able to read your mind, and by your mind, not even Solid Snake's, but yours, by, you know, being able to read the memory card in your PS2, or having it so that your player one controller wouldn't work and you'd have to plug into your, like, I mean, he was testing the immersion of software to hardware in a way that we were clearly not ready for when he initiated it. And now we are at a point in our technology where that type of immersion is completely and utterly possible. It could take us to a whole new place in it. And then this happens. Like,
I really hope that Kojima's team comes out as a new dev studio, or even as a dev studio under their existing name, because, I mean, it is the man's last name, for crying out loud, and that they don't give up, because I think that they absolutely could be just like another Platinum Games and dev games for whatever platforms will have them, and really build something true and unique. So I am holding out hope that things will go well at E3. And we'll have awesome things to say and see regarding Silent Hills, as well as Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain. But I'm pretty sure Kojima is out. I believe he chucked up the deuces.
He threw it on the ground!
And that's a shame, because that's a big mistake on Konami's end, because the man is a visionary in this
industry.
Konami
is going to regret that they're never, ever, ever... Or rather,
ever
Kojima getting back together. Is saying that they're never, ever, ever getting back together.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't believe I was able to use a Taylor Swift reference. I want to commit seppuku right now.
Really? T-Swift? That's where you had to go, right?
Yep.
On this podcast.
At least it was older Taylor Swift, and it wasn't this weird one that we have now.
What, the hip hop loving one?
Like this sick beat. Shut up, you. Shut up. You clearly don't understand. Don't shake your booty. What booty? There's no booty there.
Don't booty shame Taylor Swift. Not everybody's born with the booty.
Hey, I don't got a booty, and I know not to shake it. It's like, all right. Hey, Panda, shake your booty. No, I don't have one.
Right,
I have learned my lesson about doing things when I don't have the equipment to do said thing. You want me to vacuum? If I don't have a vacuum, I can't do it. You want me to twerk? I don't have an ass. I'm sorry. It's not something people want to see.
We get it. You don't twerk. Panda, no twerky.
No.
Got it.
Nope.
All right. So the only other thing then that I have to talk about, and then I'll turn the mic back over to you to close out the show. Can't let the week go by without talking about Bloodborne, obviously, because it comes out on the 24th. So,
something
yeah.
Look forward to.
Yeah. Now, I have said I'm going back to Destiny, and I am.
You're going back
to Destiny. But that being said, I will be working Bloodborne in, probably not on release day, because I really gotta get...
If you got one and gave it to me, I would play it on release day.
Yeah, no. Probably not playing Bloodborne on release day, but definitely playing Bloodborne next week, so I will be talking about it on the podcast. We have been drooling, and...
I have been oohing and aahing since Mattress Giant.
Almost dying of anticipation about this game since we first saw the leaked trailer when it was under its codename Project Beast.
Yep.
And everyone was just sure that it was a Demon's Souls successor.
Well, because of the way that it looked.
Right, because it's done by the same lead developer. What's his name? Hidetada Miyazaki, I think.
Or Miyamoto?
No, Miyamoto's at Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
Bad gamer. Bad gamer.
No, I just don't play Nintendo. Duh.
Yeah, Hidetaka Miyazaki is the guy directing this game. And so, and he worked on the Dark Souls franchise and really wanted to create a very, very dark story, but didn't want to just continue the Dark Souls story. He had another story.
That, because that, the Dark Souls and Demon's Souls backstory is probably one of the most confusing, convoluted, pretentious, might I add. And mind you, this is coming from someone who played Demon's Souls 3 times, went through it and did 3 playthroughs consistently harder and harder because she's a masochist and likes to hurt herself. Played Dark Souls 1 twice and then bought Dark Souls 2 and said, no, enough is enough.
Enough is enough is enough. All right.
But the backstories for those were so dense, but not because they didn't give you enough. There was a lot of research you had to do outside of the game, which, once again, I mean, if you're fully immersed, that's not a big issue. But for some people, it is. Like, if you want to tell me a big, big story, put it all in front of me because I'm not going to pull myself out of the experience to get stuff that I should have that would make me resonate with your game more. And that's kind of what Dark Souls did, which is what pulled a lot of people out of it when Dark Souls 2 happened. So hopefully with Bloodborne, we're going to see a totally different approach to the narrative.
The narrative is going to be different. In basically the game, you are traveling to this town, and I cannot pronounce it. I believe that it's Harnum. It starts with a Y, so that's why I'm not, like, where I'm like, is it Yarnheim? Is it like Massachusetts where you don't pronounce it, and so it's Harnum? We're going to go with Harnum for right now. And you're traveling to this town because, like many people in the area, you're on a quest looking for this extremely potent medicine that is evidently only available in this city someplace. When you get to the city, you find it is actually full of, like, diseased people. You know, because there are a lot of travelers that have been looking to try and find this thing to cure whatever ails them. But some of them have turned into things that are not human anymore. And so you're on a journey to find this medicine to evidently cure something that is not right with you. But you've got to wade through all the sick, diseased, and non-human anymore to try and find this thing. And you have 2 weapons. You basically have a shotgun, a gun, okay, and a blade. And each of your melee weapons has the ability to transform as you use them, so they have a secondary form. Kind of like in Devil May Cry, when you had your sword, and then as you geeked it up, it would be able to kind of sort of transform and do other things and become a sickle or whatever. You can use your blade, for instance, in its secondary form, where it is kind of like a extended blade, like a sickle, and that's more of your crowd control to keep big enemies off of you, or you can use it in a short form, which is just blunt, like melee everything fucking in front of you and destroy it. Because Bloodborne is called Bloodborne for a couple of reasons, thinking Bloodborne diseases, but also it's very bloody. It's very gory. And that's one of the things that the director really wanted to make sure could happen and why they waited for the PlayStation 4, because they've been thinking about doing this game for a while. They really wanted the game to be super hyper detailed, and they wanted it to be super hyper bloody, super hyper gory, because you're cutting down all these diseased people. So flesh should be falling from people and blood should be pouring because we're mostly bags of liquid anyway.
We are made out of 70% water.
Exactly. So we're ugly bags of mostly water. It's true. But just watching the gameplay, because it is an action game, and one of the community managers way back in the day, like, referred to it as basically Dark Souls with shotguns, which doesn't sound like a bad thing. As long as it's not convoluted. And that's one of the things and the reasons that I'm interested in this game is because Miyazaki said that, you know, they didn't want to just create another Dark Souls and do something where they just amped up the difficulty to basically make it unplayable by anyone. They really wanted to create a game that multiple people could play. So it's not as punishing, supposedly, as Demon and Dark Souls games are. And the story definitely sounds less convoluted. You're just trying to heal thyself. So I can't wait for the 24th. Like, I'm looking forward to it. Not that I'm going to play the game on the 24th, but I'm probably going to pick it up on the 24th and play it before we record the podcast. But, like, I'm ready for some blood and gore, because I gotta tell you, the last Devil May Cry game really kind of left me high and dry.
Oh, it did? You're hungry for more?
I miss, like, really and truly, Devil May Cry 2, and when thinking and comparing it to Devil May Cry, you know, the younger, the formation of Dante, and you know how I felt about 2.
Yes, I do.
It was not my favorite, and 3 really pissed me the fuck off. But I miss that kind of just bloody brawler, and I feel like Bloodborne is going to bring that back. So I'm pumped.
Okay.
That's what I got.
All right.
What do you got?
Well, I've been going back and forth between 2 series that one I'm currently watching and one I have watched and don't think I talked about on the show. Yes. I believe I had planned to talk about it, and then I think something happened and I didn't.
Sleep, food, Tuesday.
All those things could happen. So I actually think I'll talk about the one I think I have not mentioned on the show, but watched all of it and was pumped to talk about it, but then didn't. So there is a show that I watched on... I believe I watched it on Hulu Plus, even though you can find it on Crunchyroll if you want to watch it there. I had watched, via your suggestion, Dead Man Wonderland.
Yes.
And after I watched the first season of that, fell in love with that, I was like, I'm kind of in the mood for something in the same kind of vein. Wait.
You did love Dead Man Wonderland.
I did, the first season, absolutely.
The only season.
I know, which is sad.
I told you, you're going to get to the end and be like, no!
They haven't... Shiro, like, hello? Like, clearly, what? But anyway, that is a totally different... That's a totally different show. I don't want to get started on that. But anyway, I watched this anime called Danganronpa.
Oh, good lord. Yeah, you told me I needed to watch that. I haven't watched it yet.
Well, actually, in this... And Danganronpa wasn't initially an anime. It was actually a game that you could play on your PSP...
Really?
I believe, yes.
Okay.
A while ago. I think it initially, the first game came out, which was Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc, came out in 2010. I think there have been several games since then. I think the last one was Danganronpa Unlimited Battle, and that came out is planned to come out in 2015. Actually, did come out.
Did.
Did come out in January.
Did come out.
But they made an anime, which a lot of people, you know, you have to kind of be careful about when you take a game and try to convert it into a different visual medium. Because sometimes there's a lot missed.
Right.
Like, I mean, I know a lot of people really love, and I mean, I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for this.
Uh-oh.
I know a lot of people love that freaking show. Oh, God. And the name is failing me because I refuse to watch it. Because it was a game first. Crap. Oh,
and then your brain farted.
My brain was like, don't talk about this. We're going to erase it from your memory. But it was a game. Unlimited.
Unlimited Fafnir?
No. It was a video game where you used a gun to shoot your brain and an animal, like your spirit animal, came out to fight for you.
Persona?
Persona, yes. Persona 3. Persona, thank you. That hurt me to pull out of my brain.
I was like, can you describe the game?
That was the thing. Like, there are these people who had these entities that they could call out of their bodies.
And I will say that the last Persona anime, though, did a very good job.
Okay, because, I mean, I remember people talking about Persona 3.
P4. Yeah, P4 is good. You should watch it. You would actually like it.
Lost their shit because in Persona 3, that's when they initiated that sequence where you literally had to shoot. You shot your brain out to activate your summoning, whatever.
Yeah, that's how you summoned your,
But, and I mean, if it's your thing, great. Wonderful for you. I have a hard time getting into those type of series if I've played the game or if I know that there's a game, because obviously there's going to be a disconnect between what you do in the game versus what you'll see in the anime. And I've seen this happen with Corpse Party, because they did make some OVAs of Corpse Party, which I applaud what they did with that there, but it clearly the game is way too gruesome for them to really do it in the style that they did, and some of it got lost into the OVAs that they did, because clearly there's so much that they can't show in a full series, and I know they have certain restrictions on what you can see in anime and stuff. But anyway, going back to what I'm going to talk about, but after watching Dead Man Wonderland, I saw this little thing pop up, and I was like, you know, I'm kind of in the mood to watch something else, so I started watching it, and I was like, I'll just watch one episode, and the first episode got me freaking hooked. And then when I realized it came from a game, it kind of sat with me in a wrong way, but I was willing to give it a shot. Because, I mean, it was very stylistic. It was very pretty. They definitely knew how to rope you in with that killer hook in the opening song, which we know, if you've got a good enough song, you could get
a good opening gets Panda.
You can get in my pants with a good opening. What? Like, you seriously can. And I don't regret saying that on the show.
You should.
But in Danganronpa, because it's literally the first game that this anime is kind of based on. The main character who you end up playing in the game, Makoto Nagi, is this average student, but he is known for having the best luck, like the super best luck ever. Like, he seems to be lucky.
Okay.
And there's this school in this universe, in this town, called Hope's Peak Academy, and only the best of the best get selected to go there. Okay. Like, and it's in the middle of town, and it's this beautiful mansion-ish looking academy. And he gets invited to attend the school because of his super bad luck, his ultimate super bad luck, or his luck. Because you don't know what kind of luck it is, or at least he thinks it's good luck, because like I said, you get handpicked to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up there first day of school with his bags, and he's walking to the school, he all of a sudden loses consciousness, which is kind of weird. And he wakes up to find himself concealed in the school. Like, all the windows are barred and all the doors are locked, and there's
so, like, he's confined in the school.
He's confined. He's completely trapped in the school. It's like a prison. And he finds out that he's in there with 14 other students. And there is this teddy bear, this sadistic-looking teddy bear. And, like, one side of it is, like, white and fluffy with this cute smile. And on the other side, it's black and has, like, a red, like, lightning bolt for an eye. And this remote-controlled teddy bear is essentially the principal of the school. And he has his first meeting where he meets everybody. And it pretty much explains that these guys are actually the worst of the worst, and they have been chosen to live here in the school forever, and they can't leave. And they're all like, F this, blah, 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 blah. Like, we're not going to do that. We're going to find a way out. And he's like, well, he's like, there's a way to get out of here if you guys can't choose to just live here together. But the only way to do that is for someone to commit a murder and get away with it. So everyone's like, what the fuck is, like, literally no one is believing that any of this is real. And this one girl who is, like, the super idol, like, she's got this beautiful hair and she's all about her looks. And she goes over to this teddy bear and, like, pretty much decides to assault it. And he's like, oh, yeah, and there's another rule. You don't hit me. Like, you can't mess with the principal because that's insta-death. And he kills her right then. Like, all these spikes come out of him and skewer her. And then shit gets real because, like, she's already just, bam, dead. And he's like, yep. So the only way to get out of here is to commit a murder and get away with it. And they're like, well, like, how would we decide how this works? And he's like, well, there's this thing called a class trial that we'll have if you guys decide that you guys can't live here together. And that's it. Like, they have all the food they want. there's clothes, like, there's things within the school. So it's not like they'll live in there until they, like, you know, die of, you know,
starvation or anything.
Right.
It's like they just have to live there and not in their world.
Ever interact with the outside world ever again. Right. And so the first night, like, after this girl got murdered, they're just like, none of us are going to do that. We're just going to have to learn to live here and, like, be each other's things and all this. And Niggy realizes that he recognizes somebody in the 14. And it's this girl. And he kind of had a crush on her in middle school. So, like, he thought this would be the great chance for them to reconnect. And they all have to be in their rooms by a certain time at night, and you're not allowed to leave your room after that time, you know, for safety reasons, blah, 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 blah. And all of their rooms are all in the same hallway, and they all have their pictures on them. And right before curfew, Negi gets a knock on his door, and it's the girl. And I think her name was, like, Nami or something like that. And she's like, you know, I'm really scared. Like, I don't understand why all this is happening. Like, why do they choose me now? And, like, I don't want to go back to my room. And Negi's like, well, why don't we just switch rooms for a night? Like, the doors are going to close in 15 minutes. You stay here. I'll stay in your room if you feel uncomfortable. So, yeah. So she agrees, and they do that. So the next morning, she's dead in his room. She has been stabbed.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, the principal bear, I think it's Monokuma is his name, is like, well, a murder's happened. Someone wants to get out of here, and you guys have, like, 2 hours. I'm going to open up the, you know, the murder site so you guys can kind of figure out what happened. Oh, by the way, when you have this class trial, if you manage to find the culprit who committed the murder, then that person gets punished, and by punished, I mean murdered.
Yep.
However, if you misaccuse, then everyone else dies but the
culprit.
The culprit. Yeah. So this whole time, like, there's all this tension because, you know, obviously in a series, you can't have it that someone's going to get, you know, you can't, because that would end your series essentially, because then everybody would die. And you would miss out on all this backstory. And clearly it's this whodunit. It's like Clue meets, you know, another meets, like a happy
Gantz.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's pretty much Gantz in, like, high neon colors. And obviously, as you're going through all this, you realize certain students aren't actually what they're claiming to be. They all have certain sets of abilities. Like, they're all there for a reason. Like, the super idol, like, had this amazing voice. The beauty lady, like, she was great with she was modeling, and she had, like, left school because she was so popular and blah, blah, blah. There's, like, a judo master. Like, they all have something that makes them super elite or super awesome. And obviously at the end of the first episode, Negi realizes that ultimate good luck he thought he had was actually ultimate bad luck, because all these horrible things, small nuances, start happening around Negi that he's like, man, it's just my luck. Like with the murder of the first girl, apparently she had run into the bathroom to try to evade the murderer, and the door was, you couldn't lock it from the inside. And there was a way to open the door from the outside, even if you had locked the inside. And when you're going through this, you're using your detective skills. So, like, you have to, like, look at the whole area and examine things and find clues. And I mean, like, they did a really good job of highlighting that element of the game, mm-hmm. which they could have easily have just roped over with him just being a awesome logic genius, like, you know, Holmes or whatever.
Right.
But they did it in such a way that they made it very accessible to people who might not necessarily like murder mysteries. And I mean, all the punishments, because clearly, as you kind of could guess by the name, that most likely a lot of murders start happening because a lot of people start getting anxious and decide that they really don't want to live there and they want to get out. And it's just really interesting. Like, I can't imagine you watching the first two episodes and not being like, I want to see the rest of it. So, it is on Crunchyroll. It is on Hulu Plus. And if the opening song doesn't get you, then you and I need to have a talk, because clearly something's wrong with your synapses in your brain.
Well, damn. But how do you really feel about it?
I want to play the game. That's how well I think this season was, and I hope they make a second one, because there are enough games where they could do that. It made me want to play the games, but at the same time, because I have now seen the first one, I feel like I would probably be a little bias to the game because I would already kind of know the things I should be looking for, so it wouldn't be a pure experience for me.
Not so necessarily. I mean, there's no saying that this is verbatim the first game. It could just be inspired by...
It could be. Clearly. It clearly could be. I would just be upset. I'd be disappointed if it was, because then I'd be like, oh, I already know that this person did this and that person did that. And no one wants to go in knowing a game. Like, a lot of people like to go into games like, oh, I have no idea what experience I'm going to have. Oh, my God, that was amazing.
Right, because you want the story to unfold before you.
Right. And at this point, if they're following the first game in this, then I've already played it. Essentially, by watching the series, I've already played it.
Right.
But go check it out. I highly recommend it to you, sis, and I highly recommend it to our fans.
Well, cool beans. Well, there you have it. Lots of cool stuff and not so cool stuff in this episode of our weekly podcast. You can catch this podcast on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also get the podcast in your iTunes store, either via your desktop or via your iOS device through the podcast application, searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. We pop up all over the place. We're also available on Stitcher Radio. You'll find this show on the Vogue Network, voguenetwork.com, on Tuesdays right before anime jam session, so get your serious otaku on. And also check out some of the other great shows on the Vogue Network. You can also check out, like I said, our website, electricsisterhood.com, for all the stuff that we're writing about, including podcasts. A big welcome to our newest writer, The Monk. Definitely make sure that you hit up the website to check out all the stuff that she'll be sharing on the website, as well as, and time, on the podcast. What? Another voice? What's crazy? We are so excited to be growing the network. If you haven't heard already, the Structure Network will be joining the Esh family of publications.
Yay!
So all kinds of great stuff coming from that team, joining the family. It's going to be amazeballs. Make sure that you check all that stuff up when it goes live. Keep checking out No Borders, No Race, held down by our homeboy KBD over at b3crew.com. Great show. If it's indie, KBD is talking about it, so make sure that you're up on it. K-rock, pop, music, movies, hell, even books. Like, there's so much going on over at b3crew.com. Check it out. On Wednesdays, if you need beats for your feet, our man Deuces Wild over at Geek Aggro, putting it down, creating those playlists, so make sure to check it out and get a new mix for your workout. Just saying. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he has issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. Call in live. Be part of the show. There's all kinds of recaps that the Issues Guy is doing, including Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. So if you like recap shows, make sure that you check out issuesprogram.com. And as always, rounding out your week, because nerds, you need your needs satiated, and we can help. There's our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. All the stuff that we write about's there. All the things that we're thinking about writing about are there. You can ask us questions, recommend things for us to check out, maybe even focus on a podcast. So like our page, hit us up. Keep in the know with what's going on with us. You can also hit us up and follow us on Twitter at ESH News. If we've got new articles going out on our EGMnow.com site, EGMnow.com/electricsisterhood. Or on our website, you'll be able to find it via our Twitter. Check it out, share it with friends, be social, it's all good. Ask us questions, share stuff, follow Fridays, all that good Twitter stuff. We do's it. So with that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, Ayo, sis.
Yes?
What shit you digging this week?
All I'm going to say is, rest in peace, Donatello.
Aww.
That's, I dig Donatello. That's the shit I dig.
All right.
What are you digging this week?
I'll be honest with you. I'm just really fucking digging video games right now. Like, there's just so much good shit that's about to drop. And then we're going to go into E3 and be, like, wowed. Okay?
I'm wow, still, wow, wow, wow,
like,
wow, wow.
No, legit. Like, I am still, like, I'm getting a new Rock Band game in 2015.
Hell fucking yeah.
Hell fucking yeah.
Five Skip Bonefoot coming live.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, guys.
Peace.